Joined right now by a national NBA reporter for The Athletic. He previously served as the Knicks beat reporter for The Athletic. He is host of the Long Twos podcast as well. Mike Vorkunov is my guest. Mike, it is so good to have you on. Mike, how are you?
I'm great, Jim. How are you doing?
Good, good. Good to visit with you. Let me ask you first, an absolute disaster, Mike, for the Celtics last night in South Beach. Listen, I mean, you probably come out the same way I do on this, but you never, ever want to accuse an athlete or a team of quitting. But did the Celtics quit last night?
I think they were just scrambling for answers, and they ran out. And when that happens, you know, NBA teams just they know. They're the first ones to know when they're in a bad spot. So I don't know if you want to call it quitting or not, but it's, you know, they got outscored by 15 points in that third quarter, another bad third quarter for the Celtics. It was just a horrible situation altogether in Boston.
I mean, exactly what's happening. For instance, Mike, credit to Miami. Let's be very clear about that. Credit to Miami, who we'll get back to in a moment. But how much of this catastrophe is on the Celtics coach, Joe Mazzulla? And then how much is on the players themselves?
I think if the players get the credit, they also get the blame. There's only so many tactical adjustments you can make. And the Celtics have just been a weird team all season, right? They had a great record, obviously, but you could see it that something was always just on the brink of disaster for them. It would pop up every once in a while during the regular season. They had trouble in the playoffs too. And, you know, last night, like, Jason Tatum had 14 points. You had 12 points for Jaylen Brown. We saw Tatum go through these cold funks at other points in the postseason. Or Jaylen Brown, remember, he had his issues last year in the playoffs too. And it's just, there's something that's just off with them. And we've seen it rear to a head against Miami, who has just been masterful in exploiting every little deficiency that Boston has.
No, I think you're right. So before I go to Miami, let me ask you this. If there is something off, and there is, like, is it fundamentally broken? If you're Brad Stevens, what do you do going forward?
I think some kind of change is needed, right? You have to figure out what that is. They have two key pillars in Tatum and Brown that are, I think, 25 and 26 or something like that. The question is whether they want to give them both these huge extensions that'll be somewhere around, I think, $600 million in total, you know, with the cap spiking, with salaries rising. And that's a decision they need to make. You know, Al Horford's obviously getting up there. Marcus Smart has been around for a while. And it's clear that something is just a little off. And remember a few years ago when something was a little off with Boston, we saw Brad Stevens go upstairs, right, and leave the bench. And so that was a big move. So we'll see what Boston can do this year if they really want to just take a big swing and, you know, try to change the roster in a substantial way.
Right. So, Mike, what about Miami? It's an incredible stat, but of the seven guys who played 20 or more minutes last night, only three of them were drafted, and yet this group is one win away from being in the NBA Finals. How do you explain something like that? Is it just that so-called heat culture, or is there something else playing or in play here?
The undrafted part is ridiculous. I was watching the Knicks Heat game in Miami and MSG covering those games, and I'm watching the floor. It's like Gabe Vincent, Max Schrus, Caleb Martin are all undrafted. You know, Kevin Love starting, and he got, you know, waived by the Cavaliers midseason, and they're just able to take all of this and produce this juggernaut in the playoffs somehow. The coaching by Spoelstra is, you know, he's the best coach in the NBA right now. We've seen it time and again this postseason, and Jimmy Butler is just the playoff Jimmy legend is real, right? He picks his time. He wants to make sure he peaks in the postseason, and then when he does, and I think the big underrated guy this postseason has been Bam Adebayo, and just what he's done for them offensively and defensively, changing the entire tenor of the team. And we hadn't seen that from Bam consistently over the last few postseasons either.
No, you're right. That energy he has is just absolutely amazing. Go back to Spo for a minute. Like, I agree with you. I don't think anybody can really debate that he is the best coach in the NBA right now. What is it that makes him so unique and so special and a cut above at this point?
I think it's that he's not tied to anything. He's so flexible in his thought and the way that he'll coach the team. Like, one example is what happened in games one and two against the Knicks in that last series. You know, they won game one. They had Jimmy Butler. They played one type of way, kind of grinding possessions a little bit. Game two, Jimmy's out. They're putting up 53 pointers a night. They're trying to win with math and by trying to just hit more threes and hope they can steal possessions that way against the Knicks. And the way that he's inserted Caleb Martin into big minutes. And we talk about, you know, you mentioned all the undrafted guys that they have. That's not just the credit to their development. It's the willingness by Spo to be able to play them, right? I think in other organizations, even if your bottom of the roster undrafted guys get better, they still struggle to see minutes. In Miami, They just throw him into the starting lineup. Gabe Vincent played 35 minutes last night and scored 29 points. I don't know if he necessarily gets the opportunity to do that with other teams, and the coach has to put him in that opportunity.
No, I believe that 100%. And I'm a UC Santa Barbara alumnus, so I love seeing Gabe do what he did. But to your point, I don't know that others would give him the opportunity. It's one thing to get the opportunity, but what they get out of these guys, their immense self-belief that they all have, I mean, where is that coming from? The coach, the culture, Jimmy Butler, all of the above? It's like every one of these guys has self-actualized.
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, it's probably all the above, right? You know, it's the coach who's willing to play you that gives you confidence. It's seeing guys who had done that before come before you, and so you know that there's a precedent for you doing it, for someone like yourself doing it. And obviously it helps to have Jimmy Butler, who turns into one of the five best players in the league every postseason, and knowing that you can rely on him to do the types of things that he does. And also the thing about Jimmy Butler that's really interesting and fun is he is so dogmatic in making sure he makes the right plays all the time. He's not forcing things. He doesn't necessarily want to or need to score 30 points. And so I think that feeds off itself, because if you have that kind of smart selflessness in your best player, everyone else has to kind of play that way too.
I think so, and I think there is a standard. I mean, it's so cliche, but the standard really is the standard, and there is a standard in effect there. Mike, what about the Western Conference? Denver is looking to close out the Lakers tonight. Let's face it, the Nuggets are bigger. The Nuggets are better. Do you think the Lakers show up well enough to force a game five, or are you looking for Denver to close them out tonight?
Yeah, I mean, you never want to underrate the possibility of a gentleman sweep, right? Get that one game at home. And obviously, when you have Anthony Davis and LeBron, anything can happen. But if Denver finishes it off, it's probably right that it happens tonight. Why prolong it any more than it has to be? They're just so good, and they have so much skill and talent. And we've seen that the Lakers have struggled to keep up with that. Even when they do take leads, Denver just keeps storming back.
Mike, what has happened to D'Angelo Russell in this series?
That's a kind of unfortunate timing for him a little bit, right? He had a few big games earlier in the postseason. He starts missing shots, but also, that's some of the questions about D'Angelo Russell that came into, just came up with him earlier in his career too, between the defense and just some erratic shot making and shot selection, and it's coming in the Western Conference Finals.
About this, the Kyrie Irving rumors have reared their ugly heads once again. Can you see any way, any path, any how that he ends up in Los Angeles?
I don't know anymore. I don't want to ever say no with Kyrie Irving anymore. We just saw him get traded for a first round pick and a really good player this midseason trade deadline, right? I didn't think that was possible after everything that he put the Nets through for the last 2 years. If the players really push for him, if LeBron James really pushes for him, and we've already seen kind of that PR push a little bit to kind of bring Kyrie into the fold, even during All-Star weekend a few months ago in Salt Lake City. So I wouldn't put anything past that. Anything crazy can happen in the NBA these days, and Kyrie will be a free agent, so the opportunity will be there.
No doubt. So, Mike, nobody's ever come back from a 3-0 deficit, as mentioned. So how about an early thought or two about a Denver-Miami Finals matchup? How do you feel about that matchup from a basketball standpoint, and who do you like?
I think it's going to be fascinating. How Miami tries to stop Jokic. They have Bam Adebayo, right, who's one of the best primary defenders in the front court in the league, period. But we saw the Lakers get burned by trying to put their best front court big on Jokic. So will Miami try to do that as well? The difference for them is Jimmy's such a great perimeter defender too, that you can throw him on Jamal Murray, or at least at times try to throw him on Jamal Murray to really scramble things for Denver. And the defensive decisions that Miami makes are really going to be interesting for me. And for Denver, it's, can they play with the same pace against Miami as they have been earlier in the postseason? I think Denver's the favorite. It's kind of confused me why they've been so underrated this whole season, or even coming into the playoffs. They had the best record in the West, and they're the best player in basketball. Usually that's a pretty good formula for getting to the finals, right? And yet people seem to doubt them. So I think they're the favorites in this matchup too, but I think it'll be fascinating. It has to go to at least six, I think, with how well Miami's playing.
I love that matchup, and I think you get two teams that are very, very good teams with enormous chips on their shoulders. One last thought. You covered the Knicks franchise previously. What do you think their offseason will look like, and what do the Knicks have to do to take the next step?
Well, they got to get a star alongside Jalen Brunson, right? That's the easy part in terms of, you know, what do they have to do as the next step? They somehow landed a star last offseason, right? No one knew that Jalen Brunson was going to be this good. I don't know if they knew Jalen Brunson was going to be this good, but if he went into free agency now, he'd get a max contract, no problem. He ripped up the Heat like no one else has been able to this postseason. But they need to get him help. They need to get more shooting. They have to figure out what to do with Julius Randle, who had another tough postseason. That's two in the last 3 years for him. And really, they have some avenues to do that. They have a lot of draft picks. They have good young talent. They were in the, you know, in the final conversation to trade for Donovan Mitchell, and they just didn't do it last summer. So we have to see if another star comes onto the market, how heavily the Knicks want to get involved, and if they're willing to pull the trigger this time.
Really interesting to see, no doubt about that. He is a national NBA reporter for The Athletic. He previously did serve as a Knicks beat reporter for The Athletic and the host of the Long Twos podcast, Mike Vorkanoff, my guest. Mike, great to have you on. Really appreciate the insight. Great talking to you, Mike. Thanks so much.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Mike Vorkanoff joining us. All right, like I mentioned, I gave you my thoughts off the very top. Want to get you another bit of insight.